give all his time and attention to get a master degree for money, to get a master degree for career, and stay hungry spiritually because we don't want to master that.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the importance of building on what we believe.
God wants you to get a master degree in his glory.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The cornerstone of Christianity is that we're saved by faith alone. But today, Dr. Evans will tell us why our faith needs supplements, kind of like vitamins, to help us grow into the people God wants us to be. Let's join him as he begins in 2 Peter chapter 1.
Peter's concern is that believers maximize their experience with God in time and have an overwhelming entrance into eternity. He doesn't want us to wait to heaven to experience some of it now. And so he has told us in the first four verses of 2 Peter 1 that everything you need to become all God wants you to be, you already have. He's given you a divine person, Jesus Christ. With that divine person comes divine power. Batteries are included. The power of the person is connected to the person that you possess. Not only has he given you a divine person and a divine power, he says he's given you a divine presence, the divine nature, verse 4 says. The actual essence of God is residing in every true believer. If you're here today and you are a Christian, the nature of deity resides in your soul. But he resides there in seed form. And like any seed, all that the seed has to offer can only be expressed as the seed grows. So a growth process is necessary for the seed to unveil all that it has to offer. Many of us take vitamin or mineral supplements. Supplements are designed to do one of a number of things. One thing that we take vitamins for is to replenish something that's missing in our own nutritional makeup. We don't have enough vitamin A or B or C or D. So we take supplements to replace what's lacking. But there's another reason why people take supplements: to extend and expand something already there. So it's not that you're trying to replace something that's missing. You're trying to take something that's there and expand it. So all of God you're ever going to experience in your soul is already resident in your soul in seed form, but God has some supplements he wants you to take. And he says, if you take these supplements, the God who is there will expand your experience of him in your soul. He says in verse 5, to your faith, supply moral excellence. So the first vitamin we're going to take today is a vitamin called moral excellence that your faith needs. Everybody remember Pac-Man? This was go eating stuff. When your new nature sees moral excellence coming its way, the divine nature, it does like Pac-Man. It eats it up because that's what it demands. So the question is, what is moral excellence? Some versions say virtue. The Greek term there is a term that refers to something that is fulfilling its purpose for existence. For something to have virtue means it is doing what it's supposed to do. So, a knife has virtue when you're cutting something because it's doing what it was created to do. In fact, you sharpen the virtue so you can get more of what it's supposed to do. You can cut it faster, cleaner, because it is living up to its purpose. You till the soil so that the land can do what it's supposed to do in producing the crop. It's living up to its created purpose. When a horse runs, you're not making it do something it's not supposed to do. You're freeing it up to do what it was created to do. It's being virtuous. It's living up to its purpose. So when he says that the new nature, your faith is built up when you add moral excellence, the more you add doing what you were created to do, the more the new nature will eat it, swallow it, digest it, and expand from it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Your divinely ordained purpose is to glorify God. Glory means to advertise, put on display, highlight, promote. So guess why God saved you? He saved you to make him look good. God created you to be his advertising agency. That's why Paul says, I am not ashamed. Because he knew he was God's marketing agency. You are being virtuous, living in moral excellence, when you are intentionally seeking to advertise the true and living God. That's why Jesus says, if you deny me, I will deny you. And if you advertise me, I will advertise you. Because the reason why he created and saved you is for his own glory. That is because that's why God exists. God exists for God. We live in a world that wants to compete with the glory of God. And the new nature does not expand. So add to your faith virtue, your intended purpose. What's next? And in your moral excellence, the end of verse 5 says, I want you to supply knowledge. Oh, because wait a minute. If I'm supposed to be virtuous and glorifying God is my goal, then I need to find out what he expects. So I need some more information. I need knowledge so that I can be accurate in my virtue. So to grow my faith, I need to live for his glory. But to live for his glory, I need the information of what that looks like and how that works. So I need knowledge. When you hit college, they ask you, what's your major? What's your major? Up until then, it's kind of general information on a lot of things. Once you're in college, they want to know what you're majoring in. You know what? Why? Because once you declare your major, there are required courses. There are things you have to take because the whole point of taking it is to become more acquainted with what you say you want to do and be and study. Then a lot of folks say, well, I don't just want to know it, I want to master it. So you go for a master's degree in a particular area. God wants you to get a master's degree in his glory. We give all this time and attention to get a master's degree for money, to get a master's degree for career. We even go and get a doctorate degree for recognition and stay hungry spiritually because we don't want to master that. We want to master for this world, not for that world, or the living Christ who lives within. Get a degree in his glory. So now you're not just studying the Bible to study the Bible. You're studying the Bible to show more virtue. You're studying the Bible to give him greater glory. Oh, because see, a lot of folk are giving God glory in ways he don't want to be glorified. You learn the word, you get knowledge. But you get knowledge to enhance the glory, which is the virtue. I love Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 put it this way when he's talking to the believers in that church. He says, Paul says in verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a worthy manner of the Lord to please him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Says, I want you to know his will and I want you to please him in every area of your life. Our third supplement, he says, and in your knowledge, verse 6, self-control. Self-control in your knowledge. Self-control is the absence of self-indulgence. Self-control means to no longer be enslaved to an appetite. Lack of self-control means the desire controls you. You don't control it. Doesn't mean you don't have the desire. It means you're controlling the desire you have. The whole principle is not that the flesh doesn't want to do what the flesh wants to do, but because you're operating on knowledge, you now make the decision to bring that thing or those things under divine control. But you say, but I can't control that. Well, that was before the new nature started eating. Because now that the new nature is starting eating, it's getting bigger. And now that it's getting bigger, you can now add the control you used to not have. You can say no to wrong and yes to right. Even though the flesh may still want to say yes to wrong and no to right. Why? Because self-control can be added to the information that's been added, to the virtue that's been added, to the faith. Because everything is expanding in the soul now.
And there's a fourth supplement Dr. Evans will tell us about when he returns in a moment. First, a quick reminder that we're offering his current series, The Triumphant Trip to Glory, as our gift. This 8-part collection focuses on how the kind of life we live today can affect the eternal life we live in heaven. You'll learn how to nurture the divine seed the Lord planted inside you when you were saved so you could live up to your full God-given potential. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution of any size, large or small, and we'll say thanks by sending you the CD series, The Triumphant Trip to Glory. But don't wait, this special offer runs out next week. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are on duty 24 hours a day to help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
And then he comes to supplement number 4, perseverance. Perseverance means you cannot quit until God legitimately releases you. The trial, the difficulty, the circumstance, you are not allowed to quit until God releases you. Because we want to quit when we have not been released, God has to bring it back around again, which means we've lost time. Perseverance means you hang in there until God gives you a release. We're getting folks divorced for irreconcilable differences for which there is no divorce in the Bible because they're no longer happy. Let me explain. Unhappiness is not a ground for divorce. It's a ground for unhappiness. But Colossians 1 verse 11 says God strengthens us for the purpose of patience. Why? Why can I have patience? How can I add patience? Because you now just got self-control. See? So if I can control things now, I can wait on stuff I couldn't wait to before because my patience, I'm adding to something I can now control, and I can control it because now I got my information straight, and I got my information straight because I now got my virtue and purpose right, which means my faith has grown, which means the new nature is going crazy inside my soul. Add to your perseverance, godliness. That's what he's after. Godliness is a lifestyle consistently reflecting the character of God. It is where pleasing God is a lifestyle, not an event. And it is the opposite of religion. Religion is the camouflage to make you appear godly. I go to church. I carry my Bible. I say my prayers before bed. No, nothing wrong with any of those things, but it can be a camouflage for spiritual reality not being there. So you got to paint over it so the ungodliness is not evident. Godliness is where I am consistently seeking to please that which pleases God, therefore I'm being godly. And it's being authentic. I'm not doing it. He says, I can add godliness. Why does he want you to add godliness attached to perseverance? Because perseverance tempts you to be ungodly. See, when you're waiting and you don't want to wait, then you can say, I don't care. I want to go do my thing. Perseverance tempts us all to be ungodly. He says, no, when God has you this way, in this wait, and he hasn't released you, I want you to add more godliness to it. In other words, in your perseverance, I want you to draw closer to me than you were drawn before you had to wait. He comes to number 6. And add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. 2 Greek words, phileo and adelphos, Philadelphia. That's where we get the English word, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. This is a family term. This is family. Brotherly kindness, he calls it. Phileo. Out of our godliness should come kindness. A mean-spirited saint is a saint in who the divine nature is not being fed. They have not come through this process. Folk who mean all the time and vicious all the time and want to hurt. That's why he brings it into a family context. He says, I want out of your godly relationship with me, that's the horizontal and the vertical, to be a kindness toward the other members of my family because you're not an only child. Our Father who art in heaven, not my daddy who is in heaven. That's why God wants every Christian to be a vibrant part of a local church. He wants to give you family practice. Many a child was fine as long as they were an only child. Soon as that second kid came along, I had problems because there was a brother, there was a sister that was eroding on their space. See, a lot of Christians don't want it. Don't want a church home. They want to be foster saints. The reason they want to be foster saints is so they can bounce from house to house. Oh, that usher made me mad. I ain't like the way that usher spoke to me. I'm going to find another church to go to. Oh, she ain't look at me the right way. That's a mean church because she ain't look at me the right way. And I'm going to go to a church where folk look at me right. Now, 50 people and looked at you right, one person looked at you wrong, and you want another foster house. When you as messed up as the person you complaining about. And then he culminates it from brotherly kindness with his epic statement. And add to brotherly kindness, love. That's a different Greek word. That's agape. Brotherly kindness is phileo. So let me define agape. Agape is the decision to compassionately, righteously, and sacrificially meet the needs of another. Love becomes a decision even when the emotions aren't cooperating. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me tell you why love, this love thing is such a big deal. This is a big deal. Because God defines himself by it. It says, God is love. Okay? It doesn't say love is God. It says, God is love. He is that. In other words, it defines him. This definition of love, the decision to compassionately, righteously, and sacrificially seek the well-being of another. He says, that's who I am. Well, how is that so? God has never existed outside of a love relationship. Number one, he's never been alone. Because the true God, the God of the Bible, is a triune being. One God composed of three co-equal persons who are distinct in personality, yet one in essence. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, but they make up this one family. And they love each other to death. They love each other perfectly. This is perfect love because it's a perfect being. And so when Jesus was on earth, he says, I work because my Father works. My Father gives life, so I give life. Whatever I see my Father doing, that's what I do. Jesus, God the Father, looks down at the Son and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So when we develop this epic definition of love, when we get to this stage, stage seven, and seven is the number of perfection. When we get to this stage, guess something happens. God invites us in to his Trinitarian intimacy. He says, Son, Spirit, we got one. We got one who is becoming so much like us in the new nature. Why don't we invite them in? See, just because you're saved don't mean he's going to say many are called but few are chosen. Because everybody's not invited into this one. Everybody's not invited in when the Trinity says to that one who where the new nature has been expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. And the Father says, because they have now connected with who we are now going to give them the deepest experience of our reality in time and ultimately in eternity.
Experiencing the rich reality of God begins by inviting Jesus into your life. Here's Dr. Evans with a word about how to do that.
If you want to know for certain that you're on your way to heaven when you die, then I invite you right now to go to Jesus Christ and let him know that you believe he died for you, that you believe he arose for you, and that you want to put your trust in him alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life. If you really want to go to heaven, he'll give you a free ticket there, but you must go to him for it and believe him to give it to you. If you do that, you'll be saved right now.
To learn more about what it means to be a real Christian, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. Tony will walk you through everything you need to know. When you do, check into getting a copy of his current series, The Triumphant Trip to Glory. As I mentioned earlier, we'll send you the CD version of this 8-part collection as our gift when you help us keep this program coming your way with a contribution of any amount. But this special offer is about to run out, so make a point of requesting it today when you visit us online at TonyEvans.org. Again, TonyEvans.org. Our Resource Center is also open 24/7 to help you. You can reach one of our team members there at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. If a newborn baby doesn't grow, people spring into action to find out why. On Monday, Dr. Evans will explain why we should do the same for Christians who never seem to get beyond babyhood. Join him for this look at how to get the nourishment we need to move on toward maturity. In the meantime, have a great weekend. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.